First up, though, we are joined right now by a beat writer for the Lakers on the Los Angeles Times, a panelist on our daily TV show back in the day, a dad rock aficionado. He is a friend of the program. He's going to help us break this all down, Dan Wojcicki. Dan, what's going on, man? How are you?
Jim, I'm good. Happy New Year belated, I guess, right? And hope you're well.
Same with you, Dan. Good to have you back. All right, so if you're a Laker fan, how concerned would you be after watching them blow a 17-point lead last night and losing to Washington in OT?
I don't know that I'd be concerned as much as I'd be confused, I think would be kind of the place that I would be. Because on one hand, you look over and you see Anthony Davis in street clothes. You know Dennis Schroeder is at home in a quarantine after being exposed to COVID and isn't on the team. So you're missing 40% of your starting lineup, right? Like, your second and third best starters are not there. And you know that that's a lot of firepower that you don't have. So that part of it, I think, would kind of lower the expectation bar. But then you're right. I mean, you see a team that is good enough to go up 17, is good enough to seemingly like slam the brakes on this losing streak, and then watching it all sort of fall apart as they just looked, I mean, to me, Jim, they look tired. And it makes sense when you consider the sort of the year they've had, the offseason they didn't have, the year that a lot of them had last year playing, you know, deep, obviously the deepest team, last team left standing in the bubble. You know, you start to wonder if like a little of this is just sort of cumulative fatigue, if this is sort of the grind of the season. And, you know, when you're a little shorthanded, it's harder to grind it out.
Dan Wojcicki's joining us. So, Dan, that brings us, of course, to LeBron, who made it very, very clear after the game. He does not feel like he's being played too many minutes, even though he was over 40 minutes again. That's the fourth time this season. I mean, like, Dan, he's in amazing shape. Nobody would ever dispute that. But he's coming off the shortest offseason of his career. He's currently playing without AD and Dennis Schroeder. Doesn't it stand that there's got to be a breaking point somewhere, even for an outlier like LeBron?
Yeah, I mean, right? Like, it's sort of, it comes for everybody eventually. He's managed to fight this off longer than any player that I can think of, and he may continue to fight it off. But you're right. I mean, like, not only has it been four games, Jim, this year that he's played over 40 minutes, last year in the regular season, he only did it twice. So things are not trending wildly positively on that front. And guess what? When they play Utah on Wednesday night, if that game's close, if that game pushes somehow into overtime again, you can expect LeBron to be on the court for that, too. It's just sort of his competitiveness, the work that he does put in to be in that place physically. But look, when you watch him night in, night out, you do see the signs. You see, I think physically, obviously, his legs are a really easy thing you can tie to kind of the shooting over the last 10 games, you know, under 30%, closer to 20% really from deep. He was 2 for 10 last night. He misses a potential game-winning free throw short. But I also see, like, the mental stuff, you know, the turnovers. He fouled Russell Westbrook last night in overtime, Jim. Westbrook beat the Lakers to the basket. It was a situation where they needed to foul really quickly. They were down, I believe at the time, they were down one. And at that point, like, LeBron's probably a top two or three smart player in the NBA. At that point, the smart thing to do is just let Westbrook score. You know, fouling him lightly, and the worst thing that can happen is a three-point play. And LeBron fouled him lightly. Westbrook made the layup. Thankfully for the Lakers, he missed the free throw, so they still had a chance to tie. But it was just like an uncharacteristically, like, pretty not smart basketball play. And to me, that's a sign of mental fatigue, too. And I think, you know, the usage and stuff is up. But the Lakers, Jim, are in this really unique situation right now. I was just kind of running through some data over these last three games during this losing streak, and it's like, you know, the only lineups they're really having success with are the ones where LeBron James is on the court. And it's not even close. When he leaves the floor, like, they have been awful in this stretch. And so if you're the Lakers, kind of how do you balance that big picture with sort of the need to you know, still win games along the way? It's a really interesting position there.
It really is. Dan Wojcicki is joining us. You know, you had a really interesting piece earlier this month on his ability to play at the level that he is after all this time.
Yeah.
When you were talking to head coaches around the league, what did they tell you about the level that he's still playing at right now?
I mean, he's an MVP candidate, right? And he, you know, may even be still the best player in the league. I think coaches see when LeBron goes to that like A game like place, it's a level that very few other guys can get to, both physically and mentally, and even like competitively, right? It's sort of this weird kind of combination of everything at the same time. I feel very good about the fact that I wrote that story, hit send, and then I think he, you know, he's maybe made like 3 3-pointers since then. I feel a little bit better. But you know, it was, you know, the shooting early in the season was a really impressive sort of added wrinkle to his game. The smarts are at such just a, you know, another level. And, you know, physically, like, this is a guy that doesn't really ultimately slow down that much. I know we're talking about kind of the cumulative minutes, but he's a guy that's still out there every game. It's wild to think that this is still the best version of LeBron James. But look, if you talk to people that were in the bubble and I was there, and you talk to other coaches and stuff, he was the best player in the bubble. And that's wild. And I think it's certainly conceivable that when the games matter most again this year, he might be the best player again. And that's just an incredible testament to his longevity and his ability to continuously deliver when the expectations are so high.
We were talking to Dan Wojcicki for a few more moments. Dan, you mentioned the Utah Jazz. So the Lakers are a different team this year than they were last year. But what do you make of what you've seen from Utah so far this season?
I mean, it's one of my favorite eight-man rotations in the NBA, I think. They just all make such sense together, Jim. It's like, you know, you especially in the league right now, as you look around and you see teams that have so many, like, just stars, like, flat out, like, you know, all capital letter superstars. And the Jazz have some great all-NBA type players, don't get me wrong. But it does feel like it's a much more kind of cumulative thing, that it's a group that just fits together and everybody sort of elevates one another. Anybody who's around the NBA loves Mike Conley. So I think watching Mike Conley play well is something that everybody's happy about. I really hope that tonight he hears his name as an all-star reserve. I think he certainly deserves it. The Jazz probably deserve three guys. They've been just a fantastic team to this point. I think some people still have questions about, you know, can they get over the hump in a playoff series when they don't have the best player, which is sort of that, you know, easy way to sort of pick a playoff series, because they're going to play a lot of playoff series where they don't have the single best player. But they might always have the best team and the best kind of group of guys. So it'll be really interesting to see how that sort of matches up with some of the individual star power that's out in the Western Conference.
Hey, Dan, where do you come out on Quinn Snyder? How good of a coach is he in your mind?
Top tier.
Right. Me too.
I think he's in that elite class of NBA coaches. You know, it's funny. I remember once sitting in gym in your green room in the old TV studios talking to, I think it was Darren Collison at the time. We were talking about how there's really only a handful of NBA coaches who make like a huge difference. And, you know, Quinn Snyder is certainly in that class. I think just consistently his teams are so well organized. And they're a team that's also benefiting from a lot of continuity and a clear understanding of what they want to do. And that's a credit to their front office, and it's a credit to their coaching staff.
All right, so before I let you go, what about the Clippers? How does this year's Clippers team compare to the Clippers team that imploded last year?
I mean, I think, obviously, they've added some shooting, which is important. I really think that the Serge Ibaka for Montrezl Harrell flip for them was a really important one, that they got a player championship-tested. Certainly, he's played in tons of big games. Certainly more defensive-minded than Montrezl Harrell, which is something the Lakers are kind of dealing with right now a little bit. That made a lot of sense to me. I still think that they've got backcourt questions. Obviously, some health questions always that'll persist. But you know, they seem to be a team that's like more equipped for the playoffs. But I am very firmly in I'll believe it when I see it territory with the Clippers. Jim, I feel like I've seen too much over the years. I've seen that rug pulled out from underneath them so many times that it's, you know, the burden of proof is now on them. But I think they put themselves in the position in a year where, I mean, look, they, you know, that game against Utah was terrific. They played great. The Brooklyn game was really, really fun. You know, a call maybe away from that game being a little differently. And they're in a good spot.
Hey, Dan, before you go, let me ask you, as a working journo, as you mentioned, you were in the bubble and we're still amidst the pandemic, and the way you do your job is very different now than the way you used to do your job. And you know, Doc Rivers, what an unbelievable moment that was on that Zoom call a few days back when he hit Jackson Frank with that JC blast for asking a question from his bed. What was your reaction to that?
I mean, it's terrifying. I mean, as like a reporter, are there... Like, I'm very locked into, like, trying to be in a very specific place in my home that where it looks like sort of professional. But every once in a while, like, you know, I'll be on the couch or something like that and you know, maybe in some sweats or something. And you get a little nervous that you're going to get caught in an embarrassing, not like a compromising, like, you know, tubing situation, but like something where you're just going to look stupid. And it's happened for sure. I think for me, like, the best sort of moment was Frank Vogel was talking about how they were going to have to like talk faster during timeouts and meetings because the NBA had like limited sort of, you know, as part of the COVID protocols, limited the time they would have together. And I kind of cracked that they should maybe hire the guy from the Micro Machines commercials, which is a reference that I thought was just spot on. Nobody knew what I was talking about. It was total crickets on the Zoom. And like, you're not even in a position where you can save yourself. You just have to sit in it. And just sit in your horrible joke and just live in it while everybody just kind of stares at you. You're not sure if the screen's frozen. No, it's just a bad joke, and you just got to live with it. It's I want to get back and see people in person where I can embarrass myself with my references, at least in be eye to eye.
Yeah, but Dan, the thing is, if it'll make you feel better, maybe you had to wear that one. However, you just very casually inserting a Tubin reference is going to make clones worldwide very, very happy. So you just bought yourself a lot of goodwill with them, if that'll make you feel better.
If I can get a fast talker and a Jeffrey Tubin reference in the same interview, Jim, I consider this a success.
There you go. It always is. He is an NBA reporter for the LA Times. He is all over the LA Lakers. He is a good friend of the program. Dan Wojcicki, my guest. Good job, Dan. Great to have you back. Thanks so much.
All right, Jim. Be good.
You too, dude. Well done. And I know the clones think that you did a really nice job. I know James Kelly thinks that you did a really nice job.